Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Marie Kondo has written quite a few books on the topic of organizing. Four of those books went on to sell over 30 million copies. Those books were translated into all sorts of languages from Japanese. One of her books, titled The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. That book was published in 30 different countries. Very impressive. And her book, that particular book, became a bestseller in Japan and also in the United States. Marie Kondo. Anybody read Marie Kondo? Okay, a few of us. Yeah, excellent. Marie Kondo was named to Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in 2015. Amazing. What was so special about Marie Kondo and the influence that she made in people's lives? She realized that people really deep down need to simplify and declutter. Would you agree? Yeah, take a look at that closet on the top of it. Yeah, there's those things that you haven't even used for a couple years. Take a look at the boxes in the garage. They haven't even been opened, probably for months on end and don't serve a purpose, that sort of thing. Take a look at your emails. Are there more emails in your email account than probably should be? There are in mine. Marie Kondo, to really put kind of her book and her teachings into an easy way to remember, is based on a Japanese word, tokimeku. I probably said it wrong. What that means is sparks of joy. How do you get sparks of joy? How can we be tokimeku? How can we grab that concept here this morning at church? For Marie Kondo, it boiled down to this. Organize everything in your lives. Categorize your belongings by what brings sparks of joy into your life. And if there's anything that doesn't bring a spark of joy, give it away. That's what she says. How many of us this morning want tokimeku in our lives? Sparks of joy. Ah, yes, we want that. Let's see if we can grab some sparks of joy today with tokimeku in today's sermon. Here at Peace in the season of Lent, we're taking a look at Jesus, of course. It's all about him. That's the season of Lent. But we're doing it in a creative way in which we're looking at people that were around Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem. And today we're taking a look at what I'm going to suggest is the Marie Kondo of the Bible. That is Mary. The sister of Lazarus, the sister of Martha. She's with Jesus here in their little small town of Bethany. Bethany is about the size of Philomath, by the way. It's about 4 or 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. And so Jesus is about ready, he's about ready to go into Jerusalem and die on the cross. And Mary has this exchange with Jesus. Now, Mary didn't believe in, I don't know if we can say she believed in decluttering, but what we can say about Mary and what brought her sparks of joy is something that we all can do. Mary was a gracious and joyful giver. She extravagantly gives to Jesus. Judas gives the amount of money it would have cost for this ointment, this kind of perfume. 300 denarii. I'm going to put that into modern terms. How much is that? About $60,000 in modern money. That's a lot. Whoa! Mary gives humbly. You may recall Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You anoint my head with oil." Mary doesn't even feel like she's worthy to do that. She simply anoints the feet of Jesus. Mary gives unconsciously. In other words, she's not worried what other people think. That's what you do when you love someone and adore them and you give them a gift. You're not worried what everyone is talking about or putting on social media or talking about you behind the scenes. You love and adore. Mary's philosophy can boil down to really this. She believed in giving over getting. Getting for Mary was overrated. And I think we all can say getting is overrated. Getting complicates life. Getting brings clutter into our lives. Getting brings more pressure into our lives because we say to ourselves, get ahead, get more, get revenge, get. Now, as we see John's Gospel, John chapter 12, I think there's a juxtaposition in this Gospel text. What that means is the Gospel writer is wanting us to compare Mary to another person. There's another person in this text, and his name is Judas. Now, if I had to put a life philosophy on Judas, Judas was about getting over giving. He was the opposite of Mary, getting over giving. He says here in this passage, why don't we sell this perfume, you know, and then we can sell it and give it to the poor. What a nice and kind thought that Judas has, give to the poor. But what we sometimes miss with Judas, you see, is that it wasn't until the very end when we know that he betrayed Jesus. We oftentimes think that's when he turned south. But actually the Gospels tell us that his heart was not with Jesus from the very beginning. John chapter 6. See, Judas followed Jesus not for spiritual reasons. Judas wanted kickbacks. Judas wanted to be with the popular crowd. Judas wanted money. This is a side point, but it's worth bringing up here today. Sometimes God allows evil and wicked people to grab high positions. God doesn't remove them, but in the end, God's plan will win the day. How do I know that? That's the story of Judas. Judas is not removed. Judas is evil and wicked. He stays with Jesus all the way up into the cross. Judas, by the way, had heard Jesus give sermons. Jesus talked more about money than any other topic, actually. Judas never applied any of the lessons of Jesus. Judas was about getting over giving. So when he says, hey, let's go ahead and give this to the poor, that's not his intent. Judas's intent is so that there's more money so that he can grab it and have more, and put it into his pockets.